Once again, it's time to check in with Willie Hallahan, and his website is Sporting a Cause, sportingacause.com. And Willie joins us every week at this time here on Sunday in the Country. Willie, nice to speak to you again today.
Likewise, Marshall. Good to hear from you.
And we are entering the end of January and heading for February. And, of course, in the back of our minds, we all know what what comes up in February, the first beginning portion of February. But what's on the agenda for today?
Well, there's a lot coming up. Coming, starting this Thursday, is yet another bond spiel up at the Norfolk Curling Club. There are four-day events. They get 20 teams from throughout the East. There aren't a lot of curling clubs around, so they have to travel. You know, Bridgeport has one. There's one out on the Cape. And anyway, they get 20 teams. They play a sort of a round-robin tournament-style event at the beautiful Norfolk Curling Club. And that's this Thursday, the 31st, through Sunday, the 3rd. 4 days of curling action. It's free to watch, and I encourage anyone to go and watch if you've never seen it before. It's a beautiful facility. They have a little restaurant there. You can get some lunch and a drink and watch the action. Because there's so many people there who are participants, if you need an explanation of what's going on, there's always someone there willing to explain it to you. Curlers are great promoters of their sport. So anyway, that's going on this Thursday, the 31st through Sunday the 3rd. Then on also that weekend, on Friday the 1st, is Jimmy Welsh Hockey Tournament up at Berkshire School. That's a big tournament for youth hockey, peewee, squirt, and bantams. Those are three age categories in the youth hockey world. And that's going on February 1st through Sunday the 3rd, pretty much concurrently with the curling. Also on February 1st, on Friday evening, there's the Teen Trivia Challenge. This is being held at Kingswood Oxford School in West Hartford. That's typically out of my territory, a little farther out than I usually carry. But, hey, the wintertime, there aren't too many events, so I'll put it in there. But the other reason is that the beneficiary is a Connecticut Brain Tumor Alliance, which is a charity that's also being supported by another event that I do carry. It's coming up in March, a very cool, unique event called Hoops for Hannah. It's been around for a few years, and Hannah Taylor, was a young lady who passed away at the age of 32, I believe, from brain cancer. And this event is to honor her memory and to raise some money for brain cancer research. She was an avid college football, basketball fan, so she always filled out the brackets with her parents and so forth. So what this event does is it allows people to click on a website to go and fill out the brackets for March Madness. It's free. They ask for a donation, which is divided among three different brain cancer charities. And 100% of the donations go to these charities, and the family puts up $1,000 first prize. So it's a fun event for those of you who get into the whole bracketology thing. I don't have this year's up on the site because I'm missing a couple key bits of information, which I'm waiting on. But that's in March, so we've got time to cover that. Also, next weekend, February 2nd, it's a busy weekend. There's the Under the Roof 7 volleyball tournament over at the Mid-Hudson Athletic Center. And that's to benefit the Hudson River Housing Organization. They create housing for homeless people. It's a very worthy cause. And then the next weekend, we're on to Jump Fest. That's February 8th through 10th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And within that is the Human Dog Sled Race. That's an event within an event. Friday night's kind of the rock and roll night of Jump Fest. There's a target jumping under the lights for the jumpers. It's a fun night for them, a fun event, because they don't have to worry about being judged on their form and all that. They're just trying to jump on a target that's been painted on the landing hill, and there's prizes for them, and it's a fun night for them. Then after that is the Human Dog Sled Race, which is very cool. Kenny Barker thought of that years ago. It's actually done in a couple places. It's big out in Michigan, but not much around here, so it's a chance to see something kind of unique and very, very amusing. Because Dale Jones is the announcer, and he does a great job. These are six-person teams, five people pulling one person on a sled. The sleds are designed by the team. Some of them are outrageous. Some of them are simple. It's a combination of just race and fun. They're male, female, and mixed categories. And there's a People's Choice Award for the best costume slash sled design. So that's happening on Friday night of Jump Fest. And then the other 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, are serious ski jumping days. And Saturday is the Salisbury Invitational. It's Salisbury's own tournament where we award trophies for the winners in a bunch of categories. And Sunday, it's the biggest day. That's the Eastern U.S. Ski Jumping Championships. And this is a big deal for Eastern jumpers because that is their last chance to secure a place on the junior national team, which is the next, you know, the last step below the Olympics for young jumpers. It's a big deal. And the quality of the jumpers, some of these kids are very young. They're like 12, jumping off the big hill. They're as young as 12. But they're very good, and they will. Some of them will be Olympians. It seems pretty much every year, someone who's jumped in Salisbury over the years ends up on the U.S. Olympic team. They're that good, and so there we go. My blog this week talks about the combination of the curling Bonspiel this coming weekend and Jump Fest the following weekend, because they're both kind of cool sports, but on the fringe of people's notice. It's not like downhill skiing and some of the other sports. And it's rare that you get a chance to actually see these sports live. I mean, curling came into our consciousness, a few Winter Olympics ago. For some reason, all of a sudden, on one Winter Olympics, they started showing curling on TV all the time. You know, of the four or five or six stations that carried Olympic events, it seemed like no matter where you turned, you were watching curling, and people had no idea what it was. But ever since then, it's gained in popularity. The Olympics feature it more and more, and the Americans won. The men's American team won the gold medal in the last Olympics, so that always bumps up a sport in popularity when there's Olympic success. But here we have an opportunity for free, they don't charge, to go and watch curling live, find out about the sport in a four-day tournament in a beautiful facility, and just possibly you might be engaged enough by it to try it out yourself. They'll have, I'm sure, at the end of the season, they just recently had a Learn to Curl event, but they usually have an open house at the end of the season where people get a chance to get on the ice and try it. It's something anybody can do. They teach people in wheelchairs to curl, so there are a few physical impediments to learning to curl, and I highly recommend it. I've tried it. I loved it. If I had the time, I would get involved, but right in our backyard, my tri-state area of interest is probably the same Marshall as Robin Hood's and a couple other events, but no matter where you are, in Pittsfield, Poughkeepsie, or down in Harlington area, you're not much more than an hour away from watching curling, and also Jump Fest the following weekend, the other quirky winter sport. There are very few places in the East where you can watch ski jumping live, and as I say in my blog, people say, I've watched ski jumping on TV. I watched the Olympics, the wide world of sports, if you're as old as I am. I've seen it, and I say, no. If you haven't witnessed it live, if you haven't been there and watched these kids jumping 50 miles an hour off the takeoff and landing 200 feet after cruising through the air, slapping their skis down on the landing hill and people cheering and ringing cowbells, and you haven't witnessed the sport, you haven't taken it in if you haven't seen it live, and this is a perfect opportunity to. $15 is entry is the fee to get in. Children 12 and under are free all the time, so you can grab some neighborhood kids, take them all to see something very, very cool. And like curling, we have a very active learning center for ski jumpers. Ariel Picton is our coach, and if you missed the two-day clinic we had earlier in the season, it doesn't matter. You can just show up or give Ariel Picton a call, go to my website or jumpfest.org and get her email, say you're interested in trying ski jumping, she'll fit you right in. We even teach adults, too. If there's an adult who is crazy enough to want to learn, we'll teach them too. So two very cool sports, all within 2 weeks, within 10 days of each other, that you should take advantage of, a chance to see them live, and in a very kind of dull time of year. You know, we're in the throes of February, and a good way to get rid of the winter blues, two weekends in a row.
And the nice thing about going to see the ski jumps, A, first of all, on both nights, all the money that's raised from this goes to benefit people that want to use and learn from the Salisbury Winter Sports facilities to maintain the tower and to keep on going what's been going on for 90-some years.
That's right. Yeah, we teach ski jumping. That's one of the we support skiing in all of its forms. We teach ski jumping and, of course, provide the venue for that. But we also give scholarships to several grade schools who have after-school downhill programs where kids can go to Catamount or Mohawk or wherever, and it's an expensive sport, so we give scholarships to kids who can't afford to do it. We spend a lot of our money that way, and we also support individual athletes who are maybe Olympic-bound. Ski jumping does not get a whole lot of financial support from the Ski Federation. They're pretty much on their own, so we've supported that. We support pretty much whenever we're asked. We give money to the youth in our area for skiing.
Now, for people that are listening and that might want to put together a human dog sled team, who did they contact at Salisbury Winter Sports Association to do that?
It's Brian Sangster. What you can do is you can email info@jumpfest.org. That might be the best way and the easiest to remember. Go to jumpfest.org and find the email address. It's info@jumpfest.org. Just say you're interested in information about the human dog sled race, and your request will get forwarded to Brian, and he'll take care of you. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's not without a little bit of peril. I mean, people fall down and things like that. But all that's covered. We want it to be safe but fun for everybody, and it's a crowd favorite. You'll have hundreds and hundreds of people on Friday night cheering for you if you get into the race. I highly recommend it.
All right, jumpfest.org, and if you're interested in the human dog sled race, info@jumpfest.org. Willie, we hope for lots of snow this week.
And yes, at least the cold to make it.
And then no snow the week after.
That's right, yeah. It's not too much to ask, is it?
No, not at all. Not at wintertime. We'll speak to you next week, Willie.
Thank you, Marshall.